So last weekend we started, and the title, I just shortened it a little bit, but it's this: Your Next Will Be Greater. Okay? Your Next Will Be Greater. So this is a part two of last weekend. And I want to give you again the same scripture that we began with, and then we'll continue on a little further. So Haggai chapter 2, 7 to 9. He tells them, don't ignore the Lord's house and to go build again. And in verse 7, he says this: I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations will come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. And we went into quite a bit of detail the last message, the part one, about what was happening here. I'll just briefly talk about it tonight. But God's people were rebuilding the temple after captivity and the old temple had been destroyed. They were rebuilding. And a word comes to Haggai because they'd actually stopped rebuilding for a while. And we went over that last week. And he gives them an encouragement and tells them, look, this new temple is going to be more glorious than the old. And this word came from God to encourage them to step into the new and let go of the old. And we read in Ezra that many of the older people who had seen the first temple actually began to weep loudly when the foundation was laid. Reason being, they were actually grieving the past. Now, I don't want to go into that too much again this week, but grieving the past is 100% okay, but you can't stay there, okay? Remembering it, even grieving it is all right, but you cannot stay there. You must move forward. Stepping into the next that God has for you can be scary, and it will often require more, but it will be greater. Let me say that again. Moving into your next can be scary, and it might actually require more of you, but it will be greater. And I want to just go to a Bible person for this, and Joshua comes to mind when we talk about this. Numbers chapter 27, 22 to 23. Now remember, Joshua was Moses' helper or right-hand man. Joshua, when Moses went up onto the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, Joshua actually went partway up the mountain with Moses. And then Moses said, you stay here, I'm going to go further. Joshua was with him, and Joshua worshipped and served God. But Moses is told by God to pass his authority to Joshua. Numbers 27, 22 says this: Moses did as the Lord commanded. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. In Deuteronomy 31, 7 to 8, I'll just read what he said to him when he prayed for him. So Deuteronomy 31, verse 7 and 8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So here we read Moses passing on the mantle, passing on the authority for Joshua to lead. And apparently, Joshua must have been afraid. You say, why do you say that? Because in that little portion of scripture, he said, be courageous, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Obviously, Joshua at times became afraid. And at this point, he was probably a little bit afraid of having to lead that many people. Because you see, being Moses' right-hand man, well, things didn't go right. It was not really ever his fault. Because he's just the right-hand man. Now it was going to be on his shoulders. And obviously that change, that season change, was not going to be easy. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, you can read where God himself says the very same thing to Joshua. Joshua, be of good courage. Do not be afraid. I'm bringing this up because sometimes we don't want to change with the season God has. Sometimes we're not ready or we're afraid. It's okay to be afraid. Trust him and move to your next season. Also, when we read this story of Moses, we see Moses was willing for God's kingdom purpose to give something he had to somebody else. You see, when we serve God, it isn't really about us only. It's about his kingdom purpose. Are we willing to step into our next season? Because Moses also had to step in to a next season. We read the stories of Jesus, and we see where he sends his disciples out to go do what he does, but without him. In Luke 9, 1 and 2, it says, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. And then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Up to this point, they only went out with Jesus. They followed Jesus, surrounded him, and now he says, it's a new season. It's your turn to go out without me. And he starts with his 12 apostles. In other words, he's saying this is the next season for you, and he's willing to give up having to be the one to go. For Jesus, it wasn't a show. It didn't have to be him or nothing. Serving God is not a show. It should never be, it's me or nothing. And so he tells them, it's your turn, go. He sends out the 12, and later in Luke chapter 10, we read where he sends out another 70 of his followers to do the same thing. Luke 10, 1 and 2. And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would go. And then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Here Christ once again is saying it loud and clear, it's not all about me being seen or all about the show. And he sends out the 70 and then he tells them, you need to pray for God to even send out more. Because there's a harvest that needs to come in. It's a harvest of souls. Again, this is not just about us. There's a whole community around us that don't yet know Christ. There's a whole community around us that right now are pretty afraid of the future. They need him. The harvest is ripe. But you and I need to be willing to speak up. If somebody's asking, why aren't you afraid? Can you tell them? I'm not afraid because of who I serve. I serve Christ, Christ the Lord, and I'm not afraid. I've had many season changes in my life. My necks have happened, and many of you have as well. And often we see moving from one place to another as a next, and it definitely is. But you can have a next right where you're at. You can have a next where you work, where you are promoted to something else. You can have a next where you give somebody else your role. You can have a next in your church. I want to make that clear. Next is not always about moving somewhere else. And I jokingly said this last week. This message has nothing to do with moving to Edmonton, so don't. The next that we're talking about is God leading you into a new season. Sometimes as a pastor, when I preach this type of message, from time to time, there's people, they just don't like where they're at, so it's a good excuse to look for greener pastures. This isn't about just looking for better. This is about God leading you to a next season and you saying yes. Looking for greener grass, it's like looking at your neighbor's grass and it seems so much greener, but if you go walk out there and stand in the middle of it, it looks just like yours. But from a distance, it sure looks greener. Don't do that. Don't run from a difficult situation. Be led. And if God's leading you to stay there, you stay there because he's got something good. So I just want to make that clear when we're telling this type of message. But I have had many season changes, and probably the biggest next or season change for me was when we went from evangelism and working with youth to pastoring. And I can remember that season change well because I was actually good friends with the previous pastor here, and he told me, I just want you to know before I let anybody else know, but he said, I'm going to be moving on. And he told me, I'm going for an interview, you know, gave me this stuff, what was happening. He said, but, you know, if that goes through, then I'll be telling the board. And I remember thinking, what? You can't do that. I didn't want him to have a next because, well, why? I was comfortable. It was really comfortable. He was a good friend. He was the pastor. You know, they allowed us to do youth here. And from time to time, they'd get me to speak. And they would always bless us. And I would pay bills and buy groceries. It was comfortable. Sometimes being comfortable makes us not want to have a next season. But a next season came for him. And I went home to my wife and I said, we better start praying right now for whoever the next pastor is. Because, you know, I might even have been a little bit selfish in my prayer, but I said, because we want a pastor that, you know, believes in our ministry still. Because in my mind, I was thinking the next pastor's going to come in, won't want us to do youth, and definitely won't want me to preach. So we started praying. And I told my wife, this is really serious. I'm going to fast and pray for a while because I was really worried. Well, when I started fasting and praying, I kept hearing the same thing. And I told my wife, I don't know what's going on, but I said, every time I get into prayer, I feel like I hear the Lord saying, put your resume in. And I laughed when I told my wife, I really laughed. I told her, I don't have a resume. I've never had a resume. And I laughed. And a few days later, I get an email from my wife. And the email is a link, how to prepare a pastoral resume. And that was enough of a witness for me. Because I knew that if I kept feeling something in the Holy Spirit, and I'm careful with that because I know my own mind can sometimes work. It was a huge next, a huge learning curve. And I'm bringing it up because it was a little bit scary. So, staying in a season God has called you out of will make you bitter and destructive. You need to hear this. Staying in a season that God has called you out of will make you bitter and destructive. The story of Saul comes to mind, and in 1 Samuel 18, 9 to 11, I'll give you a little bit of a backstory, then I'll read it. David has killed the giant Goliath with a sling and a stone. And as they come in to the city, the women are dancing and shouting, it's the victory celebration. And they're singing, Saul has killed his thousands. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Saul has killed his thousands. And then they do the next line, David's killed his 10,000. And Saul is like, he liked the song until the second line. First line was super. He was like, that's me. The second line made him really angry. And it says in verse 9, Saul never trusted David again. In other words, he became jealous of someone else and what God was doing with them. God has a next for the people around you. Don't ever be jealous about it. He has a next for you, but he also has a next for others. If God chooses to make somebody else's next far greater than yours, cheer them on. Because if he can do it for them, he can do it for you. I remember as a teenager one time, we were in a meeting and God was speaking prophetically through the speaker. And the speaker had this powerful prophecy, and he prophesied over my sister, this powerful, unbelievable prophecy, and he never even prayed for me. And it bugged me a lot. I was a teenager. I'm being honest with you. I was like, well, that's really stupid. I couldn't be excited for my sister. But I realized it, and I knew, okay, I got some heart issue here. And God is going to do great things around us. Let's be cheering when he does. Verse 10, the next day, the Lord let an evil spirit take control of Saul, and he began acting like a crazy man inside his house. David came to play the harp for Saul as usual, but this time Saul had a spear in his hand. Saul thought, I'll pin David to the wall. He threw the spear at David twice, but David dodged and got away both times. So Saul tried to kill David multiple times, even taking a whole army out after him. You see, the thing with this story, Saul could have raised David up and blessed him in his role, but he refused change, and he allowed a spirit of jealousy to take over. If Saul had truly been walking in the spirit of God, he would have said, this is his next, I'm going to give it to him. But he became bitter and destructive, refusing to move to his next so someone else could move to their next. I said this last week, I'll say it again, your decisions don't just affect you. God has somebody ready to step in where you're stepping out. Be faithful. Listen when he's talking. The Pharisees refused to let go, and they tried to destroy Jesus and his disciples both. Not letting go of the past, not being willing to go to a next, makes you bitter and destructive. And can I say this? If any of you are in a place where you're super angry at somebody or you want to see them fail, it's probably not their fault. And you need to check your heart and see, am I not willing to do a next? Matthew 26:3-4, it says, at that time the leading priests and elders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, plotting how to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. The very leaders of God who were supposed to give them the heart of God, the rules of God, who were leading them into his presence supposedly, are together plotting how to kill the Son of God. Unwillingness to change when God brings change will turn you into a murderer. I've seen this from time to time, and it's not pretty. Let's be willing to say, God, use them around us. Open our eyes to what you're doing and be blessed. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 to 3, we read where Saul was one of the witnesses and he agreed completely with killing Stephen. And it says a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. And all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judah and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them in prison. Saul thought that he was doing God's service. I want to also get this and make this clear, because as a Christian, if we become unwilling to change or unwilling to move to our next, we often become bitter, destructive, and think we're doing it for God. Ouch. So can I tell you once again? We're not helping God if we're trying to destroy somebody. We're not. You know, if there's a preacher out there that you don't like, you don't have to go on Facebook and try to crash and burn them. Leave them alone. You don't know what's happening. Our job as Christians is to proclaim good news, not destroy anybody. God has something greater for you if you'll move to your next. I'm going to go fairly quickly and wrap this up, but 2 Timothy 2 and 1 to 2, Timothy was told by Paul, who obviously Christ got a hold of, and now he's winning people to Christ, and he tells Timothy, be strong in the grace that God gives you. You have heard me teach these things that I've been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to teach and pass them on to others. God has a greater for you, a next, and you can't do it yourself. This is one of the greatest things in ministry that we must get a hold of. It's not all about you, and God at some point is going to ask you to pass on what you have to somebody else so they can pass it to somebody else. And the more somebody else's you pass it on to, his kingdom grows. Or you can hold it and do nothing. Jesus told his followers, you will do greater things than I have. Think about that for a minute. You will do greater things than I have. John 14, 12, more assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. There was a next coming for the disciples, and that next was also a next for Christ, because he was about to be crucified, and then he would go sit at the right hand of the Father. It was not an easy next, but it was an important next. And Jesus said, you're going to do greater works because of this next. John 16:7-13, Jesus begins to explain to them how this next will be greater. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come to you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus is saying, this next has to happen. It's for your good. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. Verse 13 of the same chapter. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. And Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until you endued with power from on high. And Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jesus is saying, I'm going, but I'm going to send a comforter, and you, because of the Holy Spirit comforter I send, will take the message to the world. You see, Jesus had to die. He had to leave, or none of what was next would be possible. Sometimes the next doesn't look like what we want. But if God's leading it, you must go. Jesus knew this, and it's why he said in John chapter 12, 24 and 26. And I want you to hear this. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, for where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves him, my Father will honor. So I want to close with this. Jesus is telling them, explaining about him needing to die. And he says a corn of wheat goes into the ground and it actually dies. It begins to rot and decompose. Then it grows a plant which produces many more grains. He is teaching them a principle of next. He's teaching them a principle of greater things to come. Greater things come when you're willing to let go of what is. Greater things come when you're willing to plant it and leave it to him. You see, when the farmer goes out to plant his field, he goes out with a truckload of grain. He puts it all into the ground where you can no longer see it. And to somebody who knows nothing about farming, it might look like he just dumped a truckload of grain in the dirt. Why didn't he keep that truckload of grain? He could have used it to feed his animals. Because he knows that all those seeds in the ground, in the dark, unseen, are going to begin to decompose and a plant is going to come out and they're going to produce much. You can't enter a new season without stepping out of an old season. God wants us to embrace the new season. And God says, get ready for greater things. He's destining you for greater. Sometimes we see letting go as it's going to be lesser, but it's not. It's going to be greater. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for each and every person here. Lord, we just pray right now, bless your people. Lord, we thank you that you take us to our next with joy. Don't let us be afraid to step in to the new and out of the old. Don't let us be afraid to let go of past friends if we need to, if they're keeping us from our next. Let us press forward. And we thank you right now for miracles. We thank you for testimony coming from this. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Give God praise.